aspect of his word to us and his explanation, and that's the seed sown on the hard path. It does not take long for many feet to wear a hard, bare path across a nice green lawn. While I was chaplain teacher at LCBI, we often heard our groundskeeper muttering about this little fact of nature. "I water and I water," he would say, "but it doesn't matter because they wear the same path anyway." He had tried everything, he would say. Notes on the doors leading out of the buildings onto the common. Signs posted in the middle of the common on the path. Even heavy watering so that the path became a muddy slough. Nothing worked. His complaints finally came to the administration committee, and the administration committee shot back, "Well, if that's where they walk, maybe that's where we should build the sidewalk." The sidewalk was never built there while I was at LCBI. I think, truth be known, we all just preferred to walk along the old path. This fact of our being is the starting point for Jesus' parable of the fruitfulness of the seed. The places where many feet travel quickly become hard, bare paths. In regions where good planting land is scarce, mouths to feed are many, the paths follow closely to the edges of the rocky ground and are often edged by weeds. If the farmer sows the edge of the field from the path, then much seed will be scattered on that path where it has little hope of being fruitful. But even if the farmer walks along the path and sows out into the field, some seed will still fall on the thorny ground and some on the rocky ground and some on the path. And none of those seeds will be fruitful. That's the main point of the parable. They are all unfruitful for different reasons. The seed that falls on the weedy ground won't bear fruit because it will lose the battle for moisture to those water-sucking weeds. So, why not just send the kids out to weed the field? Weed the edge there. I don't know, maybe it's farmer's wisdom, maybe it's because the weeds will grow back, or maybe it's because of what Jesus tells us in the next parable in Matthew, the parable of the weeds and the seeds. Let the weeds grow up with the wheat until the day of judgment. The seeds that fall on the rocky ground won't bear fruit because they can't get a deep enough rooting. So why not just send out the kids to pick the rocks? Maybe it's because when you pick the rocks from the good field, you have to put them someplace. And in a crowded land, you're going to put them along the path. Or maybe it's just because sometimes there are little pockets of soil between the rocks, and if you scrape between the rocks hard enough, you'll build up that soil into one place, and that little pocket might catch the seed and a little moisture, and the seed will sprout and root. Or maybe Jesus gives us a clue about how important rocks can be in the kingdom when he says to one of his disciples, "You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." But the seed that falls on the path, it doesn't bear fruit for a completely different reason. It just lies there. And when no one is walking along the path, down swoop the birds, the crows and the magpies and the robins and the swallows and the sparrows and the finches, but mostly the big, black, wicked crows, and they snatch it up and they fly away. Now let's not malign the birds, but let's also not miss the point by thinking, at least the seed did some good on the path. It was bird seed. Bird seed is not what this seed was meant for. To understand this, we have to spend a little time thinking about the question the disciples asked Jesus after they had heard this parable. "Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" They had noticed this about Jesus. His stories were engaging, compelling, but they were also riddles and puzzles, and usually not given to one single ultra-clear meaning. Maybe the disciples were actually trying to grasp Jesus' teaching method, Maybe they were frustrated because so many people kept coming up to them after he had taught in parables, asking them questions they couldn't answer. Sounds familiar. How Jesus answered the disciples' question is very important for us to understand this parable and even all of his parables. He speaks of mysteries, secrets. The kingship of God does not show itself immediately. It does not force itself upon anyone. It doesn't overwhelm us. The kingdom of God is a mystery which unfolds only to those who are willing to listen, acceptingly, accepting what Jesus says. For he is the one sowing the seed, and the seed is what he says. And he is looking for fruit from this seed, looking for the results that come when we accept what he says, results in the way we live. And this fruitfulness, this result, it's not just some outward act, but involves a change of heart and a redirection of will. The desired fruit is not that the word of God Jesus gives us should be bird seed, but that it should transform us and our way of living, so that what we do and what we say and what we think and what we feel will endure in the sight of God, now and forever. That's how Pastor Tilling puts it in the little book he wrote called The Gospel of St. Matthew for Spiritual Reading. And he underlines it with these words: do not miss the note of warning in this parable. Pastor Tilling's words: yes, the disciples are blessed because they see and hear. And they see and hear correctly, yes. But that is because they see and hear Jesus. His words and his person comprise the deepest mystery of the rule of God, surpassing all words. This central mystery, Jesus' presence, has enlightened their eyes and been disclosed to their ears. That is why they are and must be disciples, and why disciples are and must be distinguished from the crowd, even the crowd that hangs on his words, but nevertheless does not understand. Because disciples are not looking for entertainment, not even religious entertainment. Disciples are believers. Disciples are given faith, and faith seeks understanding, the understanding of life from the perspective of faith, the perspective of the kingdom of God. And the crowds know nothing of any of this. Disciples of Jesus, get off the beaten path. Live by the Spirit. So, one day, the next spring, at LCBI, our principal, during chapel time, made an appeal to the student body. He got up and said something like this: if we try to spread out when we walk across the commons, rather than taking the same route as the person in front of us, or even the same route we take all the time, if we try every day a new route, even if it's not the shortest route, then we won't wear out the grass. And if we don't wear out the grass, our groundskeeper, whom we all know and love, will be even that much happier with us. And if you can't try this for him, then try it for the grass. And if you can't try it for the grass, well, then try walking barefoot from the dorm to the class and see how much nicer that soft, cool grass feels under your bare feet than that hard cement sidewalk will feel if we have to build one over your trail. Someone put up a hand and asked the obvious question: what's on every teenager's mind when they're asked to do something? What happens if we don't? The principal laughed. You'll never find out if it could have been any different. And with that reply, the other obvious question was also answered: what reward do we get if we do this? It was a moment of pure gospel. Rewards and punishments are all matters of the law, but Jesus comes and we live a new life, different from the crowd, off the hard-beaten path. the path of law and death and hell and sin. And we discover the richness and the abundance and the infinite goodness of life with Jesus. So where is the hard beaten path where many feet have been falling in your life, in your heart, in your thinking? Where are you following the crowd that doesn't really believe or accept what Jesus says, even when they hear it? Head down, not mindful at all, not even really picturing the destination, just following the same old path, taking that easy way yet again. I can only speak for myself. But if you'd put a tracker on me a few months ago, you would have seen that my path ended almost every day in front of a big screen, where the birds were able to swoop out of those screens and down into my heart and mind and life and imagination and easily snatch up every seed of the kingdom of God that had been so abundantly sown in my life that day. And nothing was left behind but moral and spiritual weeds to germinate and grow in restless dreams through the night. The so-called news, the three-quarters or hour and a half of Netflix, the sports highlights on my tablet, gone, gone. All God's words, gone. If you could have put a tracker on the path of my thinking about a year ago, you would notice that so often my thinking follows the same path. And it's a hard beaten path with many burdens, anxieties, and fruitless worries, hardening the path of my mind. And a mind so hardened can't really receive the Word of God with faith. And the birds swoop down and leave me with an undesirable mess. Doubt, anger, resentment, thin self-righteous pride. If you could have put a psychological radioactive tracer of some kind into my feelings, into my emotions, if we had that kind of matrix-like technology, you would discover that so often my feelings also follow a hard beaten path. Self-absorption, self-criticism, self-concern, self-preservation. And the heart so hardened by selfishness can't really love God or neighbor. And this bird swoop down and carry the seed away, leaving me with that self-satisfied stupor of someone spiritually dead. Christian, disciple, get off the beaten path. Follow Jesus. Live by the Spirit in the freedom of the cross and the love of God. The principal that morning when he got up in front of the class and in front of the school was speaking for Jesus as Jesus. When he spoke to the student body about trying to preserve the grass, just by being mindful of where and how we walk. We watched over the next little while with delight as some of the students started walking to class carrying their shoes, or they switched to flip-flops on the cold mornings. So nice for the grass, they said, and so nice for the soles of our feet and for our other souls, too. And we noticed something else. We saw student leaders bringing out coffee in the mornings, standing off the beaten path, holding it out to friends who, in their half-sleepy mindlessness, were still following the beaten path. They would stand some paces off the path, waving the coffee and saying, "I've got something for you." You get the picture. And we saw something else, too. Usually in the evening, without any warning or announcement, we saw the principal standing in the middle of the path, silently waiting, as a line of tired teenagers coming out of study hall, heads down, not even knowing he was there in the dark, until he spoke quietly. Just try it, okay? If not for yourself, then just so you don't have to walk over me? I wonder. I think that might be something like what Jesus was doing with this parable. He put himself right in the middle of the hard-beaten path, the mindless path of spiritual death, the path that we all follow again and again, even when we know that it's killing the grass and the sea and the river and the air and the soil and ourselves. He put himself right in the middle of the path of death so that we would either have to get off the well-beaten path or else run him over. And when we ran him over, isn't that what the cross is? Isn't that what the Lord's Supper is? Isn't that what baptism is? Our participation in running over Jesus in the middle of the wide, hard-beaten, much-traveled path, so that in the collision with him, which he himself engineers, we wake up, we look up, we step off the hard-beaten path, and we find that we can live, truly live, and we meet him there again, risen, alive, holy, pure, fresh, clean, new, in the middle of the bright green. And we find that we are alive too, alive with the grass between our toes and the light of eternity in our eyes and a love for everyone and everything in our hearts. And we know that it will all endure forever in the sight of God because of Christ. Amen. Amen. Disciples of Jesus, say it with me. Amen. Amen. Let this be so. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds. Amen. Our worship now as we turn to our hymn of the day, which is in our red hymn books, number 512, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil. Let us turn together to the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on the inside cover of the book or on page 127. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. Gracious God, we give thanks for your living word that goes out and does not return empty. Make your church a partner in accomplishing what you desire. Unite us in faith, witness, and mission. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For land, creatures, and people suffering from drought, that gentle rain bring life and hope. For mountains, hills, and the trees of the field, that all creation may clap for joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For nations suffering the violence of war, for exiles and refugees, lead them home in peace and bless them with your fullness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For victims and perpetrators of race-based crime, for all who suffer sorrow, illness, or injury, especially Jim Lang's family, Connie, Pastor Jean, Andrea, Ruthie, Anita and Cameron, Mary, Lorimer, Larry, and Gordon, and those we name in our hearts. Bring them justice, healing, and new life by the power of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,